cut that all. We need a new opening.
All right, ready. Whenever you're ready, Your Highness. Lord King Podcaster, whenever you're ready.
Hey, I like that one. We'll start it there. On the Loud Sports Podcast for this week, we got a lot of good local football to talk. First off, I'm Paul Rubidoux with Jake Williams here, not wearing any big red gear this week, and Brandon Plecker over on the end as well.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks, he says. Let's start there. Iowa 26-20 over Nebraska.
They're a bad team.
Can I say this kind of was a little closer than I expected it to be, though?
Nebraska seems to get up and really try and win this game. Like they the last 3 years have been really good football games.
It's six in a row, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a rivalry.
No.
It's not a rivalry at all. No.
There's a difference between a rivalry and an important game. What do we say here?
I texted you guys after Nebraska scored after the half to take the lead. I legit was like, how are they winning this game at any point? Because I didn't think they were going to win. I knew Iowa was going to come back and win just because that's just Nebraska, who they've been for the last 5 years, it seems like. So, but I was still impressed with how well Nebraska moved the football. And it was kind of a weird thing where I don't know what it is about Iowa, but Adrian Martinez plays his best against Iowa. Still loses, but he plays his best. And like he and Luke McCaffrey was struggling in that game. I don't know what they're going to do with quarterback. At this point, just start Martinez for the last two games because it doesn't really matter anymore.
Right.
Just what do you got to lose?
You know, you're still not as bad as how the Eagles decide to shoot their two quarterbacks out there this week.
Yeah. Well, here's a question, though. Keeping with the Big Ten, who is the worst team in the Big Ten? Is it Michigan?
Illinois.
Is it Nebraska? Is it Penn State?
I think those three teams would each beat Illinois.
Nebraska didn't.
I know, exactly. Oh, okay, yeah, good point.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so Nebraska's the... But then Nebraska beat the worst Penn team. State.
True.
I think Nebraska could beat Michigan.
And Penn State beat Michigan.
Because Penn State ran all over Michigan, and Penn State's not a good football team.
I think that Michigan would beat Nebraska.
I do, too.
Yeah. It's just, yeah.
I mean, I honestly think it's a toss-up.
But for the Hawkeyes here, Tyler
Goodson...
Good
question. Good question.
Yeah. Thank you.
Tyler Goodson, 30 rushes, 111 yards. Keep feeding the running backs. It's working for the Hawkeyes.
They finally gave Goodson the ball. Like, I mean, Goodson normally, you know, we're scrounging to get 20 touches out of the guy, and he's the best offensive player by a lot.
Mm-hmm. You think that he's kind of covered up behind what Sargent did last year, maybe?
Well, I mean, I think I was saying it the whole second half of the year last year that Goodson was our best player last year, too. But he'd get the ball through, you know, first three quarters, and then we'd go in the fourth quarter. He wouldn't touch the ball again.
He's mm-hmm. he's another guy.
He breaks off 15-yard runs all the time.
Well, and he's also another guy because I'm pretty sure he ran all over Nebraska last year too. Where it's a similar thing.
There's
where,
so many. You can't keep
well, it's
straight.
True. It's true. That's why I was like, was it Sargent or was it him? But I think he always has a really good game against Nebraska as well. It just seems like there's certain guys that just play extremely well for
come
this
up
game.
Big,
come
know?
Up big come in this game. Big. But yeah, unfortunately for Nebraska, they don't have any clutch players to win the game. But it was a good game. I'll give it that. It was entertaining. I'm so ambivalent to the Husker football season because they're so god awful. I'm just like, hey, fun game, guys. Fun game.
That was fun.
On the bright side, you're the last team to score 25 on the Hawkeyes.
Well, look
ever.
At that.
It's been about 2 years, but you're the last team that's ever done that's done it.
Well, there you go.
So that's something.
It was only 20. It was 26.
No, but the Hawkeyes haven't given up over 25 in the last 2 years.
Gotcha.
Since it was that 40-30 game against Nebraska, I think was the last time in like 18.
Mm-hmm. So something for Husker fans to hang
there you go.
That's,
that's as good as it gets.
Look, man, the last three games have been entertaining. That's all I could ask. It's just
jeez.
if you're gonna waste my Saturday or in this case Black Friday, if you're gonna waste my day,
waste
at least,
it in an interesting way.
At least make it, yeah. Give me something. Give me a little sliver of hope. And they did that for about 5 minutes, 8 minutes, maybe. I don't know how long that drive was, but as soon as Iowa got the ball back, I was like, they're gonna score. A little bit of desperation I felt in that drive because I was surprised they went for it, And I feel like maybe they just couldn't, they thought they couldn't stop Nebraska at the time. I was surprised by that play call.
I really did not watch hardly any of that game. I don't really know anything.
I watched mostly just the second half.
I watched a little bit in the beginning.
I was busy.
At the end of the first half. But
I was,
that's it.
It was a much more important game for me because my stepson, Iowa State, played against Texas at the same time on Friday. So I watched that game more.
Good tangent. Segue.
Me too. I did. I watched that because I was at B-dubs when the games were on it. And the state game was the one that was
beat.
It
shows you how little and I care about that game.
Well, it was the same thing where I was.
But that was the game that was
had the audio.
Speakers. Yeah. So that's the one I was paying attention to.
I was at the other place where Courtney works, and it was the same there. Yeah. About 50% Iowa State, 50% Iowa, but the speakers and the big screen was Iowa State, who beats Texas 23-20 after Texas misses a last-second field goal to tie as time expires. Ooh, what a game for Iowa State. They held on there. Wasn't always a sure victory, not even close to a sure victory. And the Cyclones punched their ticket, virtually punched their ticket, to their first ever Big 12 championship football game.
Yeah, because the worst thing that could happen is they lose, and then that would put them in a three-way tie with the Oklahomas.
Mm-hmm.
But they had the win over Oklahoma. They don't over... I don't know. It won't happen, because I don't see them losing.
West Virginia's a pesky team. You know, they have a good defense. They've been covering the spreads. I've been betting on them a lot this year.
Yeah, but I mean... Iowa State has just been playing at such a different level since that Louisiana loss. And this is the best. I've been watching them religiously for 7 years because of my wonderful fiance. And in that 7 year span, this is the best they've ever looked, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. You know, well, Breece Hall had his first game of under 100 yards all season, still had a touchdown, 91 yards.
The most important one, one that won the game.
Yeah. Broke his streak, though. Purdy, 312 yards. And a touchdown. Ellinger, 298, only 298. In the Big 12.
He's literally their whole entire offense. He's their running back.
He was
their
leading rusher. Yeah. And, you know, unless it's Johnny Manziel or somebody of that caliber, Ellinger's not the guy to put that on his shoulders. And it's showing here in the big games where they need somebody else to step up and nobody steps up because everything is designed for Ellinger.
Here's another question. Does Tom Herman make it? Do we think that
through the year? Yes.
You think so?
He will get.
You think he'll be back in 2021?
Out of the coaches on the hot seat, I think Tom Herman gets a COVID pass.
They made some of the worst. Why were they
Why did they go for it?
The fake
what
punt.
Was that?
The fake punt.
They
was,
made
ooh.
So many bonehead fourth down attempts in that game.
Right.
That they didn't deserve to win.
Texas handed that game to
They really
State.
Did.
If they would have got the fake punt, everybody would have said, "Oh, gutsy call." Right. You know, it worked. Right. But you know. Eastside Des Moines kid didn't let that happen. Was at the right place at the right time. And then, you know, later on in the fourth down, I get it.
A lot of discipline.
It's close to the goal line. You feel like you're in control. Let's put it away. But I think that the second one was a really, really bad call.
Yeah, I thought they should have kicked the field goal both times.
Right.
And they didn't kick it either time.
I mean, take the points. Yeah, I just...
Take the points.
They were up by seven at the one point.
It's a close game. Take the points.
Yeah.
Right? They were winning by seven when they went for it on fourth down. Mm-hmm. At the 25.
Yeah. No, well, Iowa
just
State...
Take the field goal.
Iowa State didn't...
Take a double-digit lead.
Right.
I don't know what you're doing.
Iowa State didn't take the lead until the last touchdown, right? They'd been leading the whole entire
Texas
game.
Were winning that whole game, yeah.
Right. And oh, how the tables have turned here in the state of Iowa, because as Iowa State jumps to number 9... in the playoff rankings, and you know, Iowa's having a good season. Iowa's ranked number 3 in the basketball rankings. Luka Garza highlights player of the year Wooden Award watch list. While Iowa State is currently losing at home to South Dakota State, that is a roster. Hey, I will say filled with former Iowa JUCO studs like Trey Buchanan and Dennis Wilson.
Hey, Nebraska's 2-1. So there's that. Nebraska ball has 2 wins. There you go.
Yeah. They're looking pretty good. I like that.
They beat North Dakota State, dropped one. Well, I can't remember who the first game was, but I know the second game they lost to Nevada.
After recording tonight at 9 o'clock Wednesday time, tip off of the Baylor game. I'm pretty excited to watch that.
Baylor,
because
Illinois,
they're kind of, if it's not Gonzaga, which Suggs just went down. And I don't know what we're going to see from him and Gonzaga going forward, but I like Baylor to make the Final Four this year. They have their usual athletic, rangy, long team, and I see a lot of good stuff coming from Baylor.
I'm just curious to see how this is going to work out because
it's not.
I don't think.
I'm
this
sorry,
is,
it's not.
This basketball season is not going to work.
We
out.
Might be able to do.
You can't
some mini bubbles. At the end of the season, they might make that work, but I don't know how college basketball, again, makes it work.
I don't see, nobody should have anybody in attendance. That drives me insane. But
Iowa State has people back in attendance this weekend.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, no, we shouldn't have people in attendance for basketball. It's in, if it was a football game, it's different. This
why?
Is
hey,
indoors.
If I die, I die. Kirk Cousins.
I guess, yeah, if you really want to risk it to watch some basketball, sure.
Yeah, not this basketball. But maybe, hey, NBA basketball, they started training camps yesterday.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Who cares about the camps? You're burying the lead.
Burying the lead. Right before we click on the mics here, we get notifications that Westbrook once again has been shipped. And that major contract found a new home. They found somebody to match it, and only one of five players in the NBA that they could have traded for.
Less than that,
right?
Probably. One of them was on their team.
Right? Westbrook for John Wall and a 2023 protected first-round pick from the Wizards to the Rockets. So now we have a Wall-Harden backcourt, which sounds, you know, maybe fractionally better, Brandon, than Westbrook and Harden.
Depends on what you like, I guess. Out of your guard, I mean, I would rather have Westbrook, I think, than John Wall. But I have no problem with John Wall. I think he's a good player.
See, I'd rather have John Wall.
Here's the answer to that.
I mean, John Wall can shoot a little bit better.
Which one of them has a dance? So you know.
Yeah, you got to do the John Wall. There you go. Light it up.
Crazy trade though, because I was driving home, and my phone goes off, and I'm like, what? I felt it on my smartwatch.
Yeah.
And I saw that. I was like, wow, it actually happened. I really didn't think they were going
to
trade him.
Well, we're still waiting for the big domino to fall, which is Harden, which apparently the Rockets still very much want to keep him. But
why would you want someone on your team that doesn't want to be there?
You know, he says the right things in public, but I don't think he wants to be there. I think you're right.
No, he clearly wants out. So
So we'll see how that goes. But with training camps, we have lines for championship odds. And the favorites, the Lakers, at +300
clearly
to repeat as champions. Yeah, all they've done is reload, retool, and with a better roster this offseason. And then tied at 550 odds, the Bucks and the Clippers, which is interesting. Bucks maybe got better this offseason. I think Bogdan would have really, really helped. The Clippers, I don't see why they're up this high. I see this.
I don't
as,
think either of those teams.
This is a casino theft.
Putting the I think Clippers I like aside. Brooklyn better than both those teams, honestly.
Yeah, and then we have the Nets at 600 right behind.
I like Brooklyn better than both of those teams.
Mm-hmm. And also, speaking of the Nets, you know they'll be playing my Celtics on Christmas Day in the Kyrie grudge match because he'll have KD. Against the Celtics, this is what I left you for. Look at my grand plan. I think that game is going to be the sneaky best game of Christmas Day.
That you can clearly tell the NBA dominates a day when it like you look at that schedule. It was eight games.
It's the NFL on Thanksgiving. Yeah. It's a day where it's the players say. Like Deion Sanders said, "Oh, I love playing on Thanksgiving." Once you are playing for a team that does it every year. Or you understand like how important that is and all eyes are on you, you love it. You don't think of it as a holiday wasted. And so LeBron is playing on his 15th Christmas Day this year. Do you know who has the record with 17 Christmas Day games?
What, Kobe?
Kobe Bean. That's right. Lakers always good.
Was
he was
Kobe
always
or
playing.
Michael Jordan was my thoughts.
Well, I don't think they really
they probably didn't do that.
Yeah,
much
they didn't
that,
have
that
the big
that time ago. Yeah.
It's like they start they plan it out. So they start the first game at like 11 Eastern, and the last game tips off at like 10 o'clock Pacific.
Yeah, West Coast games. Yeah.
It's what, six games in 10 hours?
Yeah, it's constant, like man. Mm-hmm. It's great. So we have the Nets at 600, and then a big jump, and the fifth team on the championship odds list, the Celtics at +1,300.
How do you feel about that?
Followed right behind by Brandon's Heat at 1,500. Are you feeling no respect? No respect for the East champs over here?
Yeah.
I could see Miami getting back to the finals.
I think we'll just sit back and
I don't agree with this at all.
Let the regular season roll and come at us in best of seven. Yep. I think that's how the Heat really feel right now.
Yeah.
Just cool. Talk about whoever. We'll see you in seven games, you know?
Yeah. Because I agree.
We picked them to beat the Bucks.
We can play defense with anybody.
Absolutely.
I'm irritated because my team, the Tampa Bay Raptors, which, by the way, NBA, if you aren't selling those shirts, I'll make them and I'll, you know, deal with the legal stuff later. But how do we not have a Tampa Bay Raptors shirt at this point? Come on.
Oh, there's got to be. There will be.
There will be. I want it just for the history of
it. They made $1 billion on the Washington football team merchandise this year. Come on. There will be some.
You know how much you can make just buying that and then selling it?
Uh-huh. And they'll all be at the Super Bowl.
But Tampa Jake is not going to sell away something Tampa related. He's going to keep it.
So the Raptors are at plus 2,000. Then below that, some interesting teams sharing plus 2,200. Mavs and Nuggets. Sixers at plus 2,500. And then the Warriors Rockets at plus 3,000 odds to win the title.
I feel like the Clay injury impacted that.
Yeah,
one.
Just
a little.
I think the Warriors were at like 1,200.
I was going to say, I would put them up in that top five range with Clay and Steph.
Yeah, they dropped. I like seeing where the Nuggets and Mavericks are because they both have the potential to do damage, but you got to put some risk on them.
Same spot.
Uh-huh.
You know, superstar players all over the court, over the court in both those teams, but they're so young.
A post and a guard that can do work on you. Yeah, yeah. And then the team right behind Warriors and Rockets that I didn't list here are Phoenix Suns coming in with Chris Paul with some championship odds.
There you go.
I love it.
There you go. Should be able to score.
They're still undefeated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't go out on a loss. 8-0 to end the season. 8-0 in the playoffs. Can we say that they were 8-0 in the playoffs? In the bubble.
It's a reach. But
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. A bit much. But still, that's such a man. That is like one of the biggest robberies in sports. We were robbed of the Suns.
Yeah, should have had them. What they would have got? They would have got.
Yeah, they would
just bounced.
They
would have
got.
The
they
would have
got
Come
skull
on,
dragged. I know.
Yeah, but I think they would have beat Portland.
Maybe
in the best of three.
In that, yeah,
it could have been
two game or whatever it was.
That would have been really fun to watch. So let's jump from there to the NFL. First up, we got to talk about Santa Clara kicking out the 49ers. They have moved to Arizona for the next 3 weeks, and I heard Mike Florio say he was looking at schedules at the beginning of the year for some of these California teams, and he said Arizona immediately stuck out to him specifically for the 49ers because they never played a home game on the same weekend. So you can have a game there every weekend for the rest of the year alternating, you know, every weekend there's a home game just alternating teams. Well,
and they go to Arizona as one of their road games.
Oh, is that it?
At the end of the year, too. So they probably play five games and four of them are in Arizona now.
Mm-hmm.
And only three of them are home games.
You know, unfair advantage.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, yeah. They're in the guest house.
Yep.
But you know, no place I'd rather be. Phoenix is awesome. Yeah. It's a great area. It's a good stadium, and they have that super cool outdoor grown grass that they just flow under the stadium.
Yep.
It's such a cool video to watch. All right, so last Thanksgiving, let's start it out. Texans over the Lions. In a game that I was hoping would be more competitive.
Yeah, you picked the Lions.
I did, but the better game was Washington 41, Cowboys 16. Called it on the Washington football team. I knew Andy Dalton was going to get trolled. I just felt it on Thanksgiving. And Montez Sweat picks his pocket, jumping 7 feet in the air for that interception.
Yeah, the game was close until McCarthy decided to do a fake punt on 4th and 10 at their
so
own 20.
So bad.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah, who is the worst Texas play caller this weekend? Goodness. McCarthy or Herman?
Which, by the way, I mocked you for the Lions pick. I picked the Cowboys, so I'm an idiot.
Yeah, and then we just had...
Thank you.
Yeah, by the way, I gave you the lead. I gift-wrapped it.
And before recording today, Ravens losing to the Steelers 19-14. They started with Robert Griffin, ended with Trace McSorley, who threw a great touchdown to Hollywood Brown.
That was the ugliest football game.
Of course it is. It's Steelers-Ravens, 14-19.
Yeah.
It was bad. It was...
Big Ben said after the game, he said, we played really bad. We're lucky that this game, the score is what it is. We need to do way better going down the stretch. We need to take a look at this.
Well,
the Ravens need to probably think about blocking T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
It might be a good
idea.
That
could help.
Yeah.
Two sacks, hurry, knockdown.
You also can't blame both these teams for looking so bad with all the crap that they had to deal with. And Brandon, we'll talk about that later, but how did anybody expect this to be a little entertaining? It's 2:30 on a Wednesday because NBC's like, nah, dog, we got this Christmas tree lighting thing that we really committed to it, and the Rockefellers pay us a crap ton of money, so we'll put your game on at 2:30. on a Wednesday.
Without any of your players.
Yeah. With a barren roster and a game that shouldn't even be played at this point.
Well, they made the Broncos play.
Yeah, that's the problem.
They made an example out of the Broncos.
That's the problem. I agree. I don't have a problem with the Broncos being forced to play when you know.
You put yourself in that position.
You did it yourself.
They deserve that. But, yeah, we'll get into this because before of the inconsistency of this crap is maddening.
Before we get to those games, first up on Sunday, before you even blink, it wasn't 12-15. Derrick Henry had beaten the Colts.
Oh, my goodness.
Beaten the Colts.
That was an impressive first half.
This is what's crazy about this league.
First three rushing touchdown first half since Gurley 4 years ago, I think.
150 and the three touchdowns in the first half.
Lordy! Between him and Tyree.
How did this happen to the Colts? Weekend. The Colts looked so good last week. And this is what's crazy about this league. It really is a week-to-week thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because
the Colts are an above-average team.
And you don't know with these divisional games. Because it's a similar matchup to the way I look at it. Where this, to me, reminded me, giving me Vietnam flashbacks of the Saints game. This is what it felt like. Where you have the Titans, who are the established good team that are going to run the division. And then you have the Colts, who are this talented team that are, you know, the roster's finally coming together and they're winning games. It's very similar comparison, I think, with the Bucks and the Saints, where there's always just that one team that just owns the other team, like the Packers and the Bears. It's just, I feel like the Titans always find a way to show their dominance at the right time in a season.
Especially because the Colts just beat them 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
In Nashville.
And they blew them out.
Yeah.
On Thursday night.
They did.
And then
we're like, ooh, the Colts are good. Yeah.
And they beat the Packers, and then they turn around and get just decimated at home.
Yeah, but you gotta put a little bit on no DeForest Buckner. That's a huge loss.
True.
Just gotta remember that. You know,
yeah.
Derrick Henry runs a dive every time because DeForest Buckner's not
sometimes
out.
Sometimes the divisional games, like, they just happen like this. Sometimes.
And it does. Tennessee's a good team, and their defense is finally starting to play good. Mm-hmm. And that's putting them back in, you know. They're in the middle of, you know, week four through week eight. They look terrible because their defense couldn't stop anybody.
Yeah. The NFL is so unpredictable in a normal year, but this year it just feels like it's 10 times worse. COVID and everything. Like, this year is so
How is it that this is not the most hated Roger Goodell has ever been, or the time that we're saying he's done the worst job ever? You know what I mean? Like, he's had so many bad PR moves.
Yeah.
That we're just kind of like, oh, this is what they're doing.
But it does give a lot more parity, though. I think that both the NFC and AFC are still kind of wide open. And so it gives us that. But, geez, you think you know, and then the Colts lose by almost 20.
Rough.
Browns.
Rough stuff.
Jags.
Browns barely beat the Jags. We are back to the cycle of Baker Mayfield.
Hey, the Browns are 8-3.
Doing well against a subpar opponent. They are a sneaky 8-3.
You guys.
Baker did not play well.
Fun stat. For the first time since 2002, the Browns will not have a losing season. They'll be 8-8.
That is something.
If they lose the next five games.
We have to talk about Baker Mayfield's complete miss. Did you watch that?
No.
He'll lose in the first round of the
playoffs.
No,
listen to this.
He will lose. He will.
Receiver
not
runs a slant route, no one within 10 yards of him. Baker Mayfield throws it 10 yards over his head.
Yeah.
On a 10-yard slant pass. Or not even, 5 yards for a touchdown. What are you doing, man?
But hey, caught the win. I hear you, haters.
Hey, the Browns are going to be in the playoffs, guys.
Give the ball to Nick Chubb.
The Browns are
going to
be
in
the playoffs, and they're going to lose in the first game. I don't care who they play.
I don't know, man.
So think about that, too.
You got that running game like that, and Myles Garrett, you got a chance.
I think that running game would lose to Tennessee's running
only
game.
Only in a pandemic year would the Browns make the playoffs.
Yeah, what a year. 2020, Browns make the playoffs is not the craziest
Which, by
thing.
The way, if Cleveland and Tampa Bay both hold on and get into the playoffs, they'll be the two longest droughts that would be ended, sadly. 2007 was the last time.
In Miami?
The Bucks.
Miami's got a chance. No, Vegas has got a chance. Those are some more teams with some big
droughts. It has been a while since the Dolphins.
Miami probably hasn't been there since like
2015, I think.
That soon, you think?
Yeah, there's a wild card game they played against the Texans a couple years ago, I think. Maybe.
I thought it was like 2008 was the last time they played in the playoffs. Yeah.
I don't know. It's been so sporadic.
I guess Vegas just did, didn't they? That year they went 12-4 somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey guys, remember when I said look out for the Giants? They're on a three-game win streak since they lost to Tampa.
Washington and New York are in first place.
Yeah, we had that. It's rough. The two teams were like, not those two to start the season.
The NFC East is going to be so much fun to watch. It's going to be so much fun.
It'll be interesting, entertaining.
Well, in a B movie way, like I've been talking about. Yeah. I mean, I wonder who's really sitting there going like, man, we have got to get the fifth seed. Like they're always thinking like, we have got to get the fifth seed.
Everybody below the fifth seed. All right, and Bills.
No, even if I were the top seed, I'd want to play the NFC East champ again.
Bills roll again over another good AFC team. They beat the Chargers 27-17, and now they play Monday night in San Francisco, a.k.a. Arizona.
I'm going to say Arizona. That's going to be a fun matchup.
About going back to Arizona.
Mm-hmm. After the they're going to play on that field again. Ugh. That might not be pretty. That might move the line. But nothing else there, you know, really. And nothing else here. The Falcons just rolling over the
This is what I mean.
The artist formerly known as the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, that was a horrible game.
Where are you?
This is what I'm saying. This league.
This league.
This league.
Like six turnovers.
Don't steal that. This league is owned by the NBA.
By the NBA. I feel like everybody. Come on.
No. The NBA is this league.
Oh, I forgot to mention, because you didn't put it in here because you don't care about hockey, but I do. Hockey returns January 1st.
Tuesday. NBA's back sooner. Are they playing in outdoor stadiums?
No.
Yeah, I don't care then. All right, Patriots hold on a win over the Cardinals.
They're the only championship I have, all right?
Yeah, because you're not getting any from the Buccaneers this year. That's for sure. Yeah. We'll get there. Patriots over the Cardinals. And, you know, Kyler Murray's kind of coming back to earth. Bill Belichick is figuring out how to win with the personnel he has. All is right with the world. We are back to normal.
Also helps the Bucs playoff seeding. So good job, Pats.
Of course it does. Dolphins over the Jets, 20-3. Get a little fitzy with it. What?
I don't. We shouldn't be talking too much. It was the Jets. The Jets are actively
fitzy.
Actively just horrendous.
It's contract. It's a 1 year deal for next year off this game.
It's a little wand move with his Fitz magic.
Heist.
He's gonna get the Dolphins in the playoffs. They're in. I think they're the fifth seed, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They are in the playoffs right now.
I doubt they're the five seed.
Oh, no. They're probably either the sixth or the seventh.
They are. Probably no, the five is
probably Cleveland.
Is Cleveland at 8-3.
Right.
Yeah. And then it is, I think Miami is 6-7 is.
What? The Raiders dropped out.
Well, Indianapolis would be up there.
Indianapolis
too.
Is.
No, probably no,
ahead.
No.
Ahead. Indianapolis is 6 and Dolphins are 7. And then the hunt are Raiders and Baltimore. Baltimore.
The Dolphins jump the Raiders.
Yeah. Now that we got that figured out, Vikings Panthers by 1 point. Chad Beebe,
how
that was an incredible.
He said,
"Bro,
trust
me."
He said, "Bro, trust me. I got it back." And
what that was?
Redemption.
You watch the final 2 minutes of that game?
I was watching.
Oh
that.
My
yeah,
goodness!
Vikings couldn't pull out the -3 for me. Should have taken a money line.
Well,
and they
don't
tried
like
really
that.
Hard to lose, but Carolina did it better.
Yeah, that's true. Who's Matt Rhule. Jeez, I mean, you're brought in for stuff like this, or come on, wasn't he? Something. It's
I think the Panthers will be good in a couple of years.
49ers
really
showed some fight, beating the Rams 23-20, and this is actually a rivalry. They care about this game.
The
Niners
and they got some guys back. They had Sherman back. Mostert was back.
Sherman with an interception. Yeah. Big play.
And the Niners swept the Rams this year.
Yeah. A big deal, you know.
Yeah. Again, this league. Because I was really high on the Rams after they beat the Seahawks and the Bucks, and I was like, they're looking really good. And then... It's right. It's the thing where the Niners do care about this game. This is a rivalry game.
Yes.
They showed up. And
just like how the Vikings over the Packers kind of jump-started their push for the playoffs, the Niners are going to be in the hunt with a few more wins, you know, in the next few weeks. And we'll see. And this could be the jump-start towards them fighting for the end of the season.
Yeah, people, you know, I mean, they did get to the Super Bowl last year, and, you know, they are still a good team.
Well, that seven seed
they're
opened
very
up
young.
A lot with that Arizona loss. That seven, you know, there might be 8-8 might – it's starting to look more and more like 8-8 might get it done as that seven
at the
seed.
The seven, I agree. Especially if they move to eight.
Well, especially,
eight
playoff because
spots.
Mm-hmm. The Bucks and the Cardinals are clinging to the 6-7 seed. Mm-hmm.
Then we have Saints. You know, let me set the scene here for you before we really get
before
into
we bash on
let me,
Denver.
Let me set the scene here. In the beginning of the season, there was a man in Mile High running routes outdoors, not with the real team. And in New Orleans, there was a man lining up at fullback and tight end. And Sunday, they played quarterback against each other. And the Saints beat the Broncos 31-3 in a game where it's just, you know, who can surround the athlete with the personnel? And the Broncos weren't able to really do that. He tried. One completion, two interceptions. Yeah. He tried.
Nothing much to say, yeah.
One for nine.
What are you supposed to do?
Man, yeah, it was just, it was a ball busting. Yeah.
And again, the Broncos brought it on themselves. I do think that...
They tried to have their offense quality control coach.
Which surprisingly is not the first time that'd been attempted. Did you hear that?
What? Really?
Yeah, Andy Reid tried to get Matt Nagy to play quarterback.
Oh, God.
Way back for Kansas City a while ago, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, but it got denied just like this one did.
Maybe the Eagles?
Maybe.
There's no way Matt Nagy was a backup when Andy Reid was in Kansas City.
Maybe. Yeah. No, he was the coach. He wasn't the...
Oh, he was the coach.
No, he was the quality, the quarterback's coach.
Well, see, you know...
Just like this was.
It sounds so ludicrous, but when you think of it on more of a local...
He's throwing every day. He's working out.
Do you know who Iowa State's offensive quality control coach is?
Joe Lanning.
Joe Lanning. Throw him in the game, bro. We got you. He won in Oklahoma playing quarterback and middle linebacker. So, you know, when you really think about it, those are the guys that you bring back, you pay to be on your staff that are just beyond, a little bit beyond being able to play, but still very athletic still, and they know what they're doing. Yeah. And so, you know, maybe he would have been better than 1 for 9.
This
with
sounds
two
like a 30 for 30. Where,
what if,
like,
I told you?
What if I, this, he, because he like turns out
it's
to
be, it'd be like that be an MVP janitor or something. That janitor for the, what team was that? The hockey team that came in and...
Oh, the Zamboni driver.
Yeah, Zamboni driver that came in and won that NHL game.
Was that for
game.
The Maple Leafs?
I don't remember who it was
I think
for,
it was, yeah.
It'd be kind of like that.
It was against the... No, it was the Carolina Hurricanes.
You have to... You know, if he wins the game, you got to sign him for the rest of the season. You got to guarantee that money, dude.
That happened like right before the pandemic.
Right. Yeah, the Zamboni driver. I forgot about that. That was hilarious. Okay, stop avoiding it. Let's get to it. The game of the week. Afternoon game of the week. Chiefs 27, Buccaneers 24. It was not that close.
Yeah,
it was not that close.
Kansas City let the foot off the gas.
It was 17-0 in the first quarter. Tyreek Hill had over 200 yards. Mm. Over 200 yards playing single coverage.
I don't know.
Well, that was the
doing.
First mistake.
No. And the second mistake.
I don't care who is playing corner. You do not put them one-on-one with Tyreek Hill.
You can't.
You can't play.
I don't care who it is.
You can't play press man-to-man with no one over the top on Tyreek Hill. No. You will never win that. Ever. Mm-hmm. You will not.
Right.
Especially with Patrick Mahomes playing quarterback.
It was rough. It was rough. This game was not as close as it seems.
I don't know about that.
The Bucs had some fight in the second half.
Yeah, I think they played a lot better.
They forced some turnovers, which was
fourth quarter.
Something that you hadn't seen out
if they
of
don't,
Kansas City.
Yeah.
Right.
If they don't get that fumble, it's 24-0. And they drove down the field, put themselves back within striking distance. What I saw was Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians finally, this late into the season, finally being like, hey, maybe we should listen to Tom more. Maybe we should incorporate the things that he won 6 Super Bowls with.
Could have traded for Edelman.
Well, it's just like...
Instead of Antonio Brown.
I'll admit when I'm wrong. I think Tony Romo is the best in the game with analysis.
Can you admit that you're wrong?
Yeah. Not for that. He's better than Collinsworth.
No, you know who I loved on Sunday night? Tony Dungy. I could listen to him for hours.
My point being that he pointed out something where he said, when you look at the thing, at the matchup, it's something that was great for an audience that never watched football before. He explained how man coverage works, and you send the guy in motion all the time to check your coverages. The Bucs didn't do that for most of the first quarter. They were static, so Tom had to read the play while he's doing it. Where it's much easier to send people in motion and let him. And when it looked like Tom was calling the plays, they were scoring. And there was literally one part where the mic picked up him saying, Gronk, go. And he snaps the ball, and Gronk just takes off, and they get 30 yards. And it's like, just let him run this offense.
Yeah.
You got all the people he wanted. Now let him run the offense.
Like Peyton Manning in Denver.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, it took them until the second season to really change the offense to fit Peyton. So
I think, I think the Bucs will actually be better next year because
give them control.
You gotta be. It's a 2-year contract, dude.
Well, that, but they'll actually have time
more than these pieces. I don't think Fournette will be back.
Okay. Good.
Antonio Brown.
okay.
I mean, seriously.
He was really just brought in as depth. That's really all he's there for.
He's a very noisy depth.
Yeah,
and they're giving him a lot of looks.
Before they even... Before he... it was after the Saints game. There's a whole thing about him causing a disturbance in an apartment complex, like throwing stuff. And then
he went to live with Tom.
Yeah, now he lives with Tom.
Lives with Tom.
Yeah,
I bet they don't even carpool.
I'm not worried. I still think the Bucs will go 11-5. They'll win their next four games.
Woo.
They'll be fine.
Okay.
They play the Falcons twice, the Lions, and the Vikings. All winnable games.
From there to Sunday night, go Pack, go. Dominant win over the Bears. Brandon, what'd you see that you liked?
Everything. I mean, I thought the offense played incredible. I thought I thought Chicago kind of gave up there at the end.
But oh, yeah.
The whole second half, basically. But
did you see the meme of Trubisky where that dude was making the face at him? Like, pfft. Like he was like going, like trying to pump him up, and he went pfft, like that. It was great. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Missed that.
You didn't see it?
No.
It's a really funny meme.
But, I mean, yeah, I thought the Packers' offense looked unstoppable.
Yeah.
It was pretty impressive. Yeah,
Lazard looked good, and then he took a big hit and went out for a little bit. So I wonder how his core is feeling.
I worry about his muscles.
Can take a while.
He seems very injury prone already.
Well, you know, core stuff.
I think
takes.
I feel like he rushed it back.
Might have, but otherwise, you know, running game did what it's supposed to. Our secondary looks better every week. Is it Jair Alexander's a number one ranked corner by Pro Football Focus?
No one throws it to him.
Yeah.
Guy's a stud.
Yeah. So the Packers are back in form, looking good, a month to go. And this week, if they win, they'll pay out my bet for season win total, which was an easy 8.5.
Yeah, I can't believe. Yeah. Wow. We'll need to talk about that.
Yeah, that's a whole.
Well, it's because
episode.
They were the most overrated 13-3 team ever. They were the worst 13-3 team ever last year, didn't you hear?
I mean, they were.
It was
still
horrible.
13-3 though. I was gonna say I did not watch that game 1 minute
because
I
should have just for because it was Mike Tirico and Tony Dungy on the call and it was very good.
I did like the Smith brothers touchdown. That was pretty cool.
That was awesome. The strip sack touchdown, Smith to Smith. It's always great. And then Monday night, Seahawks over the Eagles, 23-17. Let's start with the backdoor cover. Rough. Rough.
Imagine sending that. Oh, my goodness.
This guy, there's a guy that bet $500,000 on, you know, if you're going to bet that much money, put it on the money line.
Yeah, yeah.
But he bet the 6.5 points. Backdoor, horrible cover. Mm-mm. By the Eagles on the final throw. And, oh, my goodness. It's rough. Seahawks look, you know, like themselves, just keeping a team at arm's length.
Defense is playing better.
They're
defense
not
is
dominant.
Starting to play pretty well.
Right. They are starting to come together, which is happening for more and more teams, which, you know, there's no preseason. The offseason was so different that now defenses are acting now like they should have been in late October.
But that's backwards from what you normally it's defenses that dominate to start years.
And then offenses catch
come
up
and then the offenses start taking over. But
Well, now it's Tractor Cito season, so none of that matters. it's so hard to tackle Derrick Henry in December when it's colder.
I was just somebody that also posted a meme, NFL defenses, when he gets the ball. And it's literally a guy going, "Police! Somebody get the police! Help me!"
All right.
He just bullies them.
Let's find our frauds.
He embarrasses them.
I think Brandon's going to keep it with the NFL here.
I'm going to change mine just because they made me so mad Sunday night.
Oh.
The Bears, I mean, we see the Eagles.
Yeah.
And you watch the Eagles.
Yeah.
They try.
Try. At least they try. Their offense is terrible. Their offense is terrible.
But
their quarterback plays terrible.
They only lost by 6 points to a good team.
Alshon Jeffrey had his first reception of the year.
The Bears' offense, terrible. Their quarterback plays terrible. But at least the Eagles tried. The Bears gave up.
Yeah,
gave up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're taking knees and you get mad at the guy for walking forward. You guys gave up 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
Go get over yourselves and go home.
Wait. Yeah. Whoa. What was that?
Show some heart. Show some fight before there's zeros on the clock.
Yeah, and you're down by 20.
Because in the final kneel of the game.
They were complaining that he won.
No,
the final.
Tim Boyle's in the game kneeling the ball. And half the defense for the first snap, he walks forward and kneels it right up the same line. You know,
yeah.
Whatever. You know, trying to not
lose
in yards.
He doesn't want a negative rushing yard stat.
Come on, the guy never plays.
He doesn't want a negative rushing yard stat. And
the second time,
they're chirping. And
the second time, Khalil Mack, I think it was Khalil Mack, comes in and shoves Tim Boyle, or tries to. You know, he can't get through the line.
They did the old Greg Schiano.
But, like, get over yourselves.
Yeah, where you know they're going to bull rush on a quarterback knee and everybody's going to start fighting at the very end of the game.
Yeah, just, it was pathetic.
That's Bush almost league. As bad as a Clapgate.
Bush League.
Did you hear about Clapgate?
What's that?
There was a whole debacle where apparently the coaches for the Hawkeyes were clapping their hands. Do you remember that? Did you hear about it?
Yeah, I saw all this stuff of like Kirk clapping. Videos on Twitter on Friday.
Kirk Ferentz's post-game interviews.
Good
this
God,
year
Scott
funny.
Frost is such an embarrassment at this point. He's such
pretty
a whiny
bad.
Little baby.
How do you get rid of the campus hero? You know, it's
I
rough.
I don't.
He'll be there longer than Harbaugh will.
I hate his attitude so much.
You know, Jake, what a good segue to your fraud here.
My fraud of the week. Must be a record. It's got to be up there with Bill O'Reilly.
Wrong show.
Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Brien. Jeez. Wow. Freudian slip. The Big Ten. Specifically the Big Ten teams who have had outbreaks. Ohio State recently just had one. Ryan Day got it, and I'm sure that other players have had it. I don't know the numbers they have. But the Big Ten was in such a dire strait because they had put themselves in there. And we've talked about that a lot. But it's like, Ohio State, you're one of the teams that wanted this season because you want to get into the playoff and you want to play for the championship. You have to have a tight lid on your program and you cannot get in trouble with this.
Nah, kids will be kids.
Look at Wisconsin.
Well, what do you want to do? You think you want to fraud them now, bro? Wait till we get into February and we are deep in the heart of college basketball and games are being canceled and postponed left and right.
Games get canceled.
Well, yeah.
Here's another reason I'm frauding it. We're in a situation where Michigan and Kirk Herbstreit got in trouble for insinuating this, but they could if they
spot
wanted.
The lie.
They could if they wanted to. They're in a situation where Michigan says, "Nah, we ain't playing the
Florida
game."
Florida State did it.
Well, okay.
Florida State did it to Clemson.
Absolutely. Let me connect the dots
so
for you.
This where is do, why they're frauds.
Where do Kirk's sons play football? Where are Kirk Herbstreit's two sons on the roster?
Are they Clemson? On State?
They're on Clemson's.
Oh, they're on Clemson. I thought one of them played at State.
So he hears. Maybe I know that at least one's on Clemson. But he hears Dabo talking about this. Maybe he's looked into it a little more. Maybe he's talked with his son about it a little.
Florida State.
And so now he's like, yeah, Florida State definitely didn't want to get stomped. And I bet Michigan's going to do the same.
Oh, they absolutely did.
Is his connect the dots here.
And I would not be surprised in the most petty move possible. Michigan says, you can't get a Big Ten championship.
You can't get to the playoff.
We're
going to
screw off your playoff hopes. We won't play you.
Florida wins
it's
it all.
It's how we win.
Sends him a thank you.
We are, they'll probably be, 2-4 at that time? 2-5? Why do we care? Why do we care? We're going to get rid of our coach.
We're going to get rid of him anyway. I mean, whatever.
What does it matter?
He was going to lose.
Yeah, he's always lost. I mean, we know.
It's been 17 straight games you guys have lost?
16 of 17, I think
16?
It is.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised. And the Big Ten, I cannot stress this enough, did this to themselves. And it's just frustrating. Fraud Ohio State, fraud Michigan because they had to cancel, fraud them.
My fraud.
No, fraud Michigan for other reasons, I guess.
I'm going to bring it back to how we started the show here. My fraud's Tom Herman. And it's not for his play calling. It's not for.
Hook him. We're moving
exactly,
on.
Exactly. That's what it's for. It's for his attitude.
The
he's a fraud. Cool dude. Hook him. Because isn't that what he said to Zach Martin?
Yeah.
Yeah. But here, I think it's an older interview of the last year or two, but it came out this week because, everything comes out the week of the game.
Sure.
Where he did an interview where he was like, I did a few years in Iowa at Iowa State. Have you ever been to Ames, Iowa? It's like Siberia is what he said before, he moved on to greener pastures as OC of Ohio State and then taking this. And for years I was thinking, why couldn't we keep that guy in the building? Why couldn't we promote him? But you see him say something like that, and you know how his attitude is. And on the same day, Paul Rhodes, who was fired by Iowa State, tweets out how happy he is for the where the program is headed and how proud he is of those guys today and how they fought in their big win. And just class act by a guy you fired compared to a guy who thinks he's too much better than you.
Siberia.
Getting stomped. You
know who says that? That's Siberia. Someone who's clearly never been to Siberia.
CY Siberia. Yeah. Siberia.
Yeah.
Like, oh. Boom.
Oh, that's the head.
No, I didn't make that up.
That's a headline. Oh.
More like Siberia. Yeah. Well, that's my fraud. It's Tom Herman because you gotta know when to just say the right things. And he just wants to trash and he wants to have the attitude. He's an Adam Gase guy, and those guys go down hard.
He's the guy.
The fall comes.
He thinks he's the next Urban Meyer, and he has yet to prove he's good at it. Because his signature win was in 2018 to Oklahoma, a team that he lost when they played again in the Big 12 title game.
Right. Why don't you keep it with the Big 12 here, Jake? Let's go. You hate to see it.
I'm upset because I was thinking that you were being. I was on your side a little bit with the Farmageddon, but then I was also like, maybe he's being too traditionalist.
No, now but, come around.
But Iowa State, on senior day, are wearing the all-black uniforms again, which, by the way, I think they've worn them, like, what, five times now?
They're not alternates anymore.
They're not.
Yeah, not this season.
Twofold, this is why it upsets me. One, it's senior day. They have to leave Jack Trice in Cardinal and gold.
Even if it's with those sleek black helmets and black sleeves and stuff, give me the Cardinal with gold jerseys.
Yes.
That's what we need.
Yes. And secondly, it's what you just said. It's not an alternate anymore. It's not special anymore.
Right. I agree. I brought this in.
I agree with you. You were right. You're right. It triggered me. You hate to see it.
You hate to see it. Brandon's going to keep us in college football here, and I've been waiting. I didn't bring this up in our group chat.
I know what you're talking about now. I remember.
I didn't bring this up in the group chat. I said nothing about this because I was hoping either somebody would have it or I would get to bring it up. But Brandon, set the scene for us, Brandon.
I don't know what the score is. They're down by six, I think.
It's
Syracuse
six.
Is playing
six.
NC State, right?
Or seven. Or
Syracuse
eight.
Is horrible.
It's a one-possession game.
Right.
It's a one-possession
game. Syracuse is horrible. You know, no wins on the year, you know. Lost by 70, I think, one time this year. They're terrible. Here's why. Down by six, you're driving down the field at home. Our quarterback forgets what down it is.
Gets sacked.
Gets sacked on third down.
Scrambling.
Third down. No timeouts. It's now fourth down. We're hustling to the line.
Because clock's moving.
Yeah,
we're
at 10 seconds, right?
No timeouts.
Spike it. Man.
You hate to see it.
You hate
he throws up the four like Tom Brady. Yeah.
Oh, man. You hate to see your team lose.
Fifth down was a
Hail
Mary call.
Finding more ways to lose.
Jeez.
And it. Oh, man.
You hate to see it.
You hate the unfortunate.
Oh. This is why you can't win.
It's so rough.
This is why you're Syracuse. You're a basketball school.
Yeah, that's. Woo. That's rough, man. I got a rough one here, too. You hate to see it. Nate Robinson hit the mat like a duck with birdshot. He went down. It's honestly, it's the ref's fault for continuing it after he almost was down for a count like 2 minutes earlier. And then Jake Paul hits him right on the temple, and the dude goes down like the Leaning Tower. Oh, my gosh.
Imagine getting knocked out by Jake effing Paul.
Who then calls out Conor McGregor for a boxing match.
Do it.
I would watch.
Please,
that. Yeah,
beat his face in. Do it.
But now everybody is saying, yeah, who do we get to beat up the Paul get kid?
Right, everybody wants to beat up the stupid YouTuber.
But honestly, their clout is so high right now.
And that's the thing. He's a great example of stupid people being famous.
Yeah, you get the energy. You know who said that they would.
And he's not. And by the way, he's not smart for getting famous. His dad runs everything for him. Him and his brother.
There's an old boxer, and it's De La Cruz, or who's the other one? It's a commentator now, like in his 50s, the Hispanic guy. I don't know.
I don't watch boxing. Okay, well, I'm a normal American. I don't watch boxing.
Is it Canseco? Is he a boxer? I don't know.
No Jose idea. Canseco, the baseball
No, player. Not okay, not him. But there was somebody that said, I would fight Jake Paul, and it's because his daughter used to date him. Rough.
Thinking of De La Hoya?
Oh, yeah, it might have been Oscar De La Hoya, yeah.
That's the only one I can think of.
All right. You hate to see it. Nate Robinson, yeah. Boxing's a whole different thing.
Imagine
man.
Getting knocked out.
We learned that.
Getting knocked out by a vlogger.
He's a world-class athlete.
I hate... We are living in the darkest timeline of 2020 because Jake Paul won a boxing match.
He's won two in 2020.
Oh, Jesus.
Now he's now 2-0.
I forgot.
He's coming for that belt.
That's when you know boxing is truly dead.
Oh, boxing is so dead, dude.
Jake Paul is giving them life support.
I think boxing died after Pacquiao Mayweather.
I would think it died after Mayweather McGregor.
Yeah,
that was a horrible fight.
That was the
that
death
fight
blow.
Sucked.
That was the
terrible.
Knife.
I'm so glad I
that was the spear in
Look,
the side of boxing.
Come get me, FBI. I didn't pay for that because it wasn't worth my money.
It was so bad. Yeah, I didn't pay
Some
for that.
Some dude on Twitter had it on. go after him.
All right, let's jump into our final football segments of the week with the Fab Five. Not as good this week, you know, as last week. Detroit couldn't do it for me. The Vikings couldn't do it for me. But this week I found some that I like. There are a lot of big spreads this week. There's a lot of big spreads, but I found some good ones here.
Sorry.
Big spreads.
It's not even what you think. I was thinking of you at like a dinner party. There's a lot of big spreads here.
Me at Thanksgiving. Hey, a lot of big spreads. I appreciate the
everything's proportioned so well. Anyway.
A lot of crazy matchups on the table here.
Let's talk about them spreads.
All right. Titans -6 versus the Browns. Take the Titans to show the Browns the difference between a pretender and a real
Ooh,
playoff team.
They're going
to
thump them, huh?
Titans by a touchdown and under 54.
Oh.
Yeah, under 54, Titans
Ugly
-6.
Slobber knocker.
It'll be a fast game.
You know it.
It'll be kind of like that.
Exactly.
I mean, you got
by like that Saints Broncos game. It'll be fast.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of running.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then let's jump back to the Lions. I'm going to do it. I'm doubling down.
Why?
Now, this is the one where you can fool me twice. Fool me twice. I won't come back. But Lions +3 at the Bears. Put the coffin in Matt Nagy. Let's do it. Let's do it.
No, he'll be like the Undertaker set up.
They have absolutely no motivation. We were just talking about it for a half hour. Lions +3 at the Bears. Bills on Monday night -1.5 at the 49ers, a.k.a. at Phoenix. I like the Bills by 2 points cross country here against the Sparky 49ers. Final of the Fab Five is our game of the week. Go, Pack, go. Packers -8.5 versus the Eagles. I like the Packers. -8.5. What do you think about that big spread, Brandon?
Man, it's just like this week. I don't see, you know, and I think their pass defense is not as good as Chicago's even is.
Mm-hmm.
No offense though.
And the Eagles, I don't know what they're going to be able to do because it seems like anything what they try to do on offense would directly feed into the Packers' strengths on defense, where it's, you know, grab balls in the secondary or it's people getting through the edge to get to Carson Wentz because he's with the most sacked quarterback this year.
Most sacks, most fumbles, most picks.
Exactly.
In the league.
So the Eagles' worst case scenario is ball hawking back and a front four crazy pressure.
We saw what Savage had two
picks
last
week. Oh,
what
a game! Yeah, he's week after week. Darnell Savage keeps showing up, and I really like what he's able to do. And you know the next you know Nick Barnett.
Great player.
Need a good Packers safety here. Really need it. You know, with the good corners. So let's jump from there to the primetime picks.
Appreciate the stalling there.
Yeah, we got a fourth here. Cooper has joined us for a minute.
Yeah, he's taking my spot pretty much.
All right, there is no Thursday night game this week, gentlemen.
Thanks, NFL.
Thanks, Ravens.
I mean, yeah, if we're gonna
play. They're on Tuesday.
Yeah, we get a
Tuesday.
I guess
night.
Yeah, we get
Gail
Tuesday. We get Tuesday.
We get Wednesday night. We get Sunday. We get Monday and Tuesday. I mean,
so
good.
Tell me though. Oh gosh, how did we get Broncos Chiefs prime time? Is they just thought the Broncos would be a step up in a good divisional battle here?
I think that they thought
Von Miller would be playing.
They probably thought that the Broncos would be where. where the Raiders are, I think.
Oh, well, losing 41-3?
Better than what they, you know.
At least they had a quarterback.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it always gets bad.
Also,
when there's no quarterback.
The Saints scored more points against the Bucks, who had a quarterback. Whoa. So, there you go. 38-3.
Whoa.
Why'd I bring that up? Because I'm a masochist. Let's talk football. Let's talk football.
All right, primetime picks. First one, Sunday night, Broncos at Chiefs. I think this is going to be a pretty easy pick.
Yeah, pretty chalk. I feel like everybody's taking KC.
I like the Chiefs. How about you, Brandon?
I mean, Denver can't score, so
no,
not seeing much of a chance in that one.
Yeah, against a team where you have to score 30 to be given a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
To stay in it.
And we
Oh, man, geez, that hurt.
The Washington football team at the Steelers.
Division leading.
Steelers short week here.
You want to take it,
I want to do it really bad.
I think Brandon smells an upset. I can't.
Short week.
The potential of the Steelers, you know, even though they kind of had a sloppy game today, you still see their playmakers showing up. And
I like
the Steelers. I like the Steelers.
I'm going to say the Steelers.
They got to lose at some point, but it's not this week.
He's saying the odds do not. He's Charlie in the basement right now.
He's got this yarn.
And he doesn't match up.
And here's the thing. It's a safe pick for me, and I'll tell you why it's safe. Because while Brandon really thinks this over, I'm going to show you this. Here are the current primetime pick standings. After a week where everyone but Brandon went 4-1.
Ooh.
I could have very easily went 5-0, but I was a fool, and I picked the Cowboys. He picked the Lions, and of course, Tyler picked the Ravens. So
rough.
Rough stuff. So Brandon takes the lead. 5-0. He goes to 37-23.
Good week.
Finally.
Good week.
I've been clinging to that lead, that slim lead, and now I'm behind. I'm in second place, 36-24 after my 4-1 week. And just like fate always has it, tied for third place, Tyler and Paul, both 35-25.
I got to get out of there, man.
Yeah, that's a good record, though.
Better than I was last year, I think, at this point.
Yeah. Tyler will not let me go. He's latched on. Yeah. So we have.
Never let you go.
Brandon, did you say you're taking the Steelers?
Yeah, give me the Steelers.
Okay. All right.
I see how it is. Now you're gonna make me have to actually pick to beat you.
Yeah, you, Brandon, take the safe picks. I mean, you're one up with what, 4 weeks to go, 5 weeks to go. So Bills at 49ers. You heard me in the Fab Five. Bills all the way.
I would agree with that. Bills.
Bills.
So now it gets
Dang
fun.
It. Now I got to use my brain.
Now it gets fun. It's wild card time. Once again, you heard it in the Fab Five. Hear it again here. You Lions.
Why?
Cardiac cats.
I don't think you've ever won a Lions pick. I've won a Lions
I don't
pick
think
before you did.
Has anyone ever won a
I Lions? Won
he
one.
Did. He did when they beat the Eagles last
year. Yeah, yeah.
He did.
No, I got one this year,
on
too.
On that kickoff return for a touchdown.
Oh.
Well, I got one this year, too, when they kicked the last-second field goal to beat Washington.
Got to stay with the Lions. Got to stay with the Lions.
Cardiac cats, man.
Doing it. Matt Stafford. Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. All right. For my wild card, I'm going to be easy. I'm going to take the Aints over the Falcons.
Well, I gave you my upset again first.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. All right, you got my upset.
So your upset's the Lions?
My upset's the Lions. All right.
Give me Seattle. Give me Seattle Ooh. Over New York.
Oh, that's an easy one, too.
Dang it.
Over the Giants.
Oh, I don't know. Giants playing well. I don't know. But, you know. I don't know.
From there to my wild card, then I'll close that out. Straight from the Fab Five. Book it. Titans.
Okay.
Wrecking the Browns.
Wow. What are you going to do if the Browns actually pull that out?
I will never believe in the Baker Mayfield Browns.
Even if they win that game? Go 9-3?
Isolate that. Put it in the intro because it's week to week. I will never believe in the Baker
it's
Mayfield Browns.
It's a part of
Browns.
The theme song.
It is.
All right. So I got to look at Brandon's phone because I didn't print it off. For my upset, I'm going to go with. This is tough because all these games suck.
Here, I got one. I got one for you.
There you go.
They're close. They've been close. And I think they're going to get it done this week finally. Jacksonville.
Whoa.
Jacksonville over Minnesota.
Dang, dude. Come on.
I was thinking that one, too. I was thinking that one, too. But because they have been
Kirk
close.
Kirk Cousins, back to earth.
James Robinson. Whoever's playing quarterback, doesn't matter. I don't know who it's going to be. It was Mike Glennon last week. It was whoever that Luton guy was that played against the Packers.
Find out who their quality control coach is.
He might be out there this week. You never know.
I know I've been singing his praises, but no, I didn't.
Oh, come on.
I'm gonna take the Rams over the Cardinals. If I'm looking at that right.
Rams are favored.
Rams are favored.
Oh, perfect. Sticking with my MVP K1 Cardinals, baby.
Just completely, you picked both teams. No faith in anything.
Dude, I'm scared because now I actually have to pick.
Yeah, Cardinals.
I'm in my own head
Cardinals
now.
Cardinals are way more of a toss-up
pick. Brandon's winning the mind games over here.
Yeah.
He's over here like, oh, no, no, you should pick this one. This is a good one, buddy.
He's making you go for home run swings now.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is get out of your own head with the home run swings.
So then I got I literally was like, oh, they're the underdog. I'll take
I'm oh, okay, that one. You switch the names. At who? Oh, man.
Who's the home team?
Well, we will bring you next week's primetime picks, which the loser will definitely be Jake flipping picks like that.
The Cardinals are really the ones that worries me. That's the only pick that...
you just
give me Jacksonville. I'm telling you.
Because I think...
That's confidence
in
the Jags.
L.A. and Arizona, that's pretty much a home game for both teams, so who knows?
Could be. Well, we'll have it for you next week. Whatever it is. Until then, find us on Facebook. You can like Loud Sports Podcast on Twitter at Loud Sports Pod, on Instagram, T-Merch, T-Public/merch/
Say T-Merch. Oh,
Loud Sports Pod.
Papa Tappa Dappa.
Just search it.
You know, Loud Sports T-Public.
Yeah.
.com.
And thanks for listening for Brandon Plecker and Jake Williams. I'm Paul Rubidoux. Loud Sports Podcast.